It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
We are in the book of Matthew, chapter 18. And we are going to start from verse 1.
At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
The disciples asking questions, Who will be the greatest in the kingdom of God? Before that, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus Christ was talking about John the Baptist. And he said that John the Baptist is greatest among all the people who are born into this world. But he says there will be least in the kingdom of God. He will be greater than the John the Baptist. But these people are not asking now greater, they are asking who will be the greatest. Now Jesus Christ simply understood what these people were thinking. The pride. When the pride gets in you, you want to be top of everybody. And that's what it is. So Jesus Christ took a child and says, if you want to be greatest in the kingdom of God, you have to be converted. When you say converted, means you got to be transformed. Your life has to be completely changed. And so he said, your life has to be changed, and then you will be humbling yourself, and then you will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The people who are sinners, every sinner has a pride. And the pride is the cause of fall or sin. If the person doesn't believe in God and they have their own agenda, you know the Cain. Cain said, I'm not going to worship the Lord the way Abel does or my father does. I want to do the way I want to do. And he got into pride. He wanted to do his own will sacrifice. That's called selfishness or self-righteousness. Okay, so here he's saying your heart has to be changed. And you have to be humble yourself, and then you will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. From that we know the people who are going to go to heaven, they are going to be humble, they are going to be converted, they are going to be transformed, they are going to renew their mind. And in heaven, there is no sin. The word of God says no unholy thing will be entered into the kingdom of God. Matthew 18:5.
And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
Now here we see two things. One thing he says, whosoever receives this little one in my name receiveth me. Now somebody will say, well, in that case, if I adopt some children or take care of my children, that means I'm just like a serving Jesus. That's not the meaning coming. Whoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. The second verse, verse 6, please read one more time.
But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
Now he says, the little one you receiving, those little one are believers. He says, those little one who believes in me. If somebody believes in Jesus Christ and you receive that person, that means you receiving Christ. He says, please read Matthew chapter 10, verse 41 and 42.
He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward.
See, here is clear. You receive the prophet who is prophesying or preaching about Jesus. That's the person you receive, who is preaching the gospel. If that person you receive and you give them food, shelter, money, take care of them, he says, you are just taking care of me. And then he says, if little one or little children means the children of God, who are the disciples of Jesus Christ, if you take care of them, even giving them a glass of water, you will receive your reward. In the Matthew chapter 18, verse 5 and 6, when you say, receive a little child in my name, that means you are receiving me. It's not that simple, but receiving somebody who believes in Jesus Christ, and you love that person, and you take care of that person, then you get the reward. Now here, and one more thing he says, some people often the little ones. Little one means can be small children. Now so many people are kidnapping small little girls and destroying them and little boys. And some people are taking the mothers who are pregnant and aborting their children, brainwashing them and doing those things. So those people are offending this. All children are belong to God. We will reading in this. So the word of God says that kind of person, they should be hanged the millstone around their neck and dump them, drown them in the depth of the sea. Now somebody says, this is Jesus talking? Yes. Somebody say, oh, he's kind, he's loving. He would not say somebody like that. Yes, he says he believes in death penalty. If somebody doing this kind of crime and the innocent people cannot defend themselves, he said that person should have death penalty. Read it in Mark chapter 9, verse 42.
And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea.
Now, here he says he should be drowned, depth of the sea. He said he should be cast into the depth of the sea and kill that person. And so it is very dangerous playing game with God. If somebody says nowadays, if somebody doing that and you take that person and putting in the depth of the sea, you will be in a jail. Even though we don't do it, God is going to put that person not in the depth of this water sea, depth of the lake of fire, the lake burning with the fire. And there God is going to do it anyhow. Go back to the Matthew chapter 18, verse 7.
Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh.
Let's read in Luke chapter 17, verse 1 and 2 also.
Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones.
See, now the three books said the same thing. First of all, he says, woe to that man who brings the offenses. In the Luke, he said, it is difficult that offenses would not come. Because there are crazy people in the world. They will do crazy things. But at the same time, the word of God says, woe to those people. When the Judas betrayed Christ, Jesus says, it was better for that man never to be born into this world, because he will have greater punishment in hell. This is why we have to tell the people, what you're doing, you are preparing yourself to eternal damnation, eternal hellfire. Even though in 21st century, nobody's going to pick you up and throwing in the middle of the sea, but that's what God is going to do. Okay, Matthew 18:8.
Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven.
He is saying, your hand, your foot, your eyes, try to make mischiefs, to do something wrong. Now, the sinners, they play game with their eyes, they steal with their hands, they walk to the bad places to commit sinful activities. So he says, your hands, your eyes, and your feet, cut it off, take it off, and throw it out. It is better for you with one eye go to heaven, with one hand we can go to heaven, with one foot we can go to heaven. Now, just think of somebody literally takes the eye off, hands off, and cut his leg off, and his heart is not changed. Do you think that man will be going to heaven? No. There are some people without a hand. There are lame people. There are blind people. And they are not converted. Their life is not changed because they have one hand. So those people will go to hell. But here Jesus Christ, first he said, your heart should be converted. You should be transformed. There was a man, he became blind in both eyes. He came to my church and I said, sir, can I pray for you? Because I prayed for many blind people and God healed them. I believe God can heal you also. He said, no, Pastor Peter, I don't need eyes. I had the eyes. And I was going to hell with those eyes. Now, my eyes are gone. Now I'm totally transformed. And I belong to Jesus Christ. So this scripture comes true there. Here the word of God is saying, your eyes, your hand, your feet will take you to hell if you don't use it for the glory of God. God has given us hand, lift up your hands and praise God. God has given us feet, he says your feet should be beautiful when you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your eyes should see the glory of God, means praising God. If you have good eyes, you can read the Bible, go to church, raise your hand, tap your feet, praise God and glorify God. Each and every organ God has given to us for his glory. And the verse 10 we read, one more time, please read.
Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven.
Now again he said, little one can be little babies, can be born again children. Now, little babies, they are innocent. And the word of God says, each and every little baby has an angel watching over them. Did you any time hear train crash, plane crash, and many disasters, and the children were tossed out with the wind hundreds of miles, but the babies are survived? Many times, little babies, little children, they survive. Why? Because if they are really born-again Christian children, they have more protection. So the word of God says, these little children, they have angels, and those angels stand before God, and those angels see the face of God all the time. And any problem comes to these children, from heaven to earth, split second they can come and rescue us. That's why the word of God says angels are there to rescue little babies, protect little babies. So he says those angels were watching, taking care of them, and they stand before the God, beholding the face of God every day. And the same time when we are born again, same thing happens. Read the Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. Once you are born again, just like a little baby, in the eyes of God, we are babies, little children. If in the 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, he says, little children, when you are born again, child of God, the word of God says, God sends his angel to protect you. Because when you are newly born again, the devil is after you to kill you, destroy you, pull you down. So the God is there, he sends his angels to protect you. Please read.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
One person said, can I demand angels to do things for me. No. They are standing before God. They only take God's command. You cannot boss around in angels. And not only that, you cannot even worship the angels. So the angels are in the presence of God. Let's read Psalm 103, verse 20 and verse 21.
Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word.
See what he's trying to say? What the angels are doing, they receive the strength from God, and they hear his commands wherever they want to go, and they listen to his word and his voice. Whatever God says, they will do. They have to be in the presence of God, receive the command from God, listen to the voice of God, and do the right thing. Verse 21.
Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure.
See, they are minister of his, and when they do the Lord's work, they have pleasure doing it the Lord's work. They are not tired, weary, or burdensome. As soon as God says, go, ready to go. They never disobey God. And so the angels are not one. There are millions and billions of angels. Each person have angels when you are born again. And each baby has the angel. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 11.
For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost.
So here saying the Son of Man is Jesus Christ. Came into this world for what? To save the sinners. We were lost. Lost in what? We lost God and we'll start going other way. God says, okay, I'll tell you where the right way is. That's why Jesus Christ says, I am the way. If you want to go to Father, you lost the way, you're going some way, going astray. There is a scripture says the way looks seems to be right. And when the people go in that road, the end up is death. That's what Jesus Christ says, I am the life. Don't go the wrong way. And I will show you the way. Luke chapter 9, verse 56.
For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.
The Jesus Christ says, I have come to give you life. And what? More abundant life. He says, I didn't come to destroy your life. I came here to give you life. And St. John chapter 10, verse 10, what he says? The enemy, the devil, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil's job is to killing and destroying. Jesus' job is giving you life and more abundant life. Bible is the only book talks about love. God is love. Jesus Christ is the full of model of love. And he says, love your brethren. Do not hate. If you hate your brother, you are already going to hell. And all these teachings in the Bible. Unity, love is in the Bible. I did not come to condemn you. I did not come to destroy you. I came to save you and give you life. Okay, Matthew 18:12.
How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains? And seeketh that which is gone astray. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish.
If somebody has 100 sheep and one is lost, that person doesn't say, hey, I have 99. Just only one gone. I'm not going to look for that one. And if he start doing that, you know what's going to happen? He may not have one. Each time one lost, he say, oh, we have 98 now. And keep on doing like that, he would not have any sheep. So the person who takes care of sheep, he is concerned about every one of them. Now, why he keeps the 99 and goes for one? Because if there are 99s, sitting there, you have to go and see how the sheep, they sit. They don't sit putting their head together. They always sit like looking all around. They keep their back to each other and keep eye on the enemy. And the enemies, they don't go to attack some 100 in a group. The enemy only looks for a one single one, so he can attack. And that single one, the weaker one, he attacks and kills. That's why if you are in the church, if you're worshiping God and you have all the brothers and sisters with you, there is a less chance to be backslidden. But if you wander alone, let me see this movie, let me go to this bar, I want to witness to somebody, or let me go to this place and that place, you will be doomed. There was a one man came to our church. God saved young man and his sister and everybody, and they were in the church and singing and praising God, and they were very, very good believers. And one day that brother comes to me and says, Pastor Peter, I had a girlfriend, and now I am born again. The girlfriend wants me to go and witness to her. What do you think? I said, it's a wrong idea. I said, if you want to go to witness to her, I'll come with you. Or you take your sister with you. But if you're going to witness to her, you are bad friends, you are lost. He did not take my advice. So the point I'm making, one lost sheep, enemy can attack. So the shepherd will keep on sensing where the voice is coming, and he will give the signal to that sheep. The Bible says, sheep knows the shepherd's voice. And if that sheep is not in the bush and outside somewhere, comes running to the man. Or if she's in the bush, he will rescue and bring it back. And he says when he rescues that, he feels much more joy than this 99. If those 99 people were there and they say, oh, you are rejoicing only one man backslidden and come back. How about us? We are always with you. It's not like that. He says if you pulling somebody out of the fire when somebody is dying in sin or backslidden, that's the great, great job. The Word of God says in a book of James, somebody has to rescue them from the fire. Okay, here, verse 14, it says, please read that verse one more time. 18, 14. Matthew 18.
Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish.
Now, he gave the example about the sheep, and he says, that's the exactly my Heavenly Father does. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Read the 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4.
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior.
What is acceptable? He said, this is acceptable in the sight of God.
Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth.
This is acceptable. God wants each and every person to know God, know the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus says, I am the truth. So our job is telling people about Jesus Christ, telling people that Jesus Christ is a Savior, and this is the will of God. God wants each and every person to be rescued and bring it to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Go to the 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
God does not want any person to go to hell, but all should repent and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Book of Romans chapter 10, he says, how can they hear without a preacher? Somebody has to go and tell. And so somebody says, oh, I'm not a preacher. The preacher gets the salary, $500,000. Let him go. Thank God I'm not taking salary. So what I'm trying to say, each and every believer is a preacher, is a witness. Go and tell somebody, I was lost. Jesus saved me. And I don't want you to go to hell, because the Word of God says, I don't want anyone to go to hell. I want everyone to repent and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's what God's desire is. And we are here to fulfill the God's desire. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 18 and start reading from verse 15.
Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he'll not hear thee, Then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican.
Now, when you say brother, it can be your real brother, or it can be a church member. Now, the just thing that church member did something wrong to you, very wrong. As soon as that person did something wrong, you said, I'm going to go and tell pastor, I'm going to tell the church and this and that. The word of God says do a couple of things. First, you take that brother aside and talk to him, brother, we are believers. Why are you doing this to me? And explain to him. And if he says, I'm sorry, brother, I made a mistake, you already gained your brother. That's okay. But if he says, who are you telling me? That's not your job. Maybe pastor or elder will tell me. You get out of here. You don't tell me what to do. Okay. Then he should do, that brother should go to one of the deacons or one of another brother, and a couple of brothers say, let's talk to this brother. This is what he's doing to me. And I told him, but he doesn't listen. And then if that brother says, who are you? I'm not going to listen to you, both of you or all of you. And then you take that brother, if he's a church member, and it might be giving more tithe to the church, and pastor doesn't say anything to him and keeps quiet. So take it to the church. And then tell in front of church, this is what this brother is doing. You talk to that person separately, then take a couple of brothers, he doesn't listen, then bring it to the congregation, because the pastor might say, you are wrong. So bring it to the congregation. And then if he doesn't listen to the congregation, then the word of God says he should be to you like a heathen or publican. Don't keep contact with that person anymore. Don't eat with him. Don't talk with him. Don't do anything. Paul says, give it to him, to Satan. And somebody says, how can we give it to Satan? When you give to somebody to Satan, what the Satan's job is? Grilling you, destroying you, making you more problems. And then you can call to God, just like Job. When he got so much persecution, so much problem, then he start blaming everybody, blaming anybody he could find. And then if you read chapter 38, 39, then God comes and say, hey, Job, let me talk to you. When I laid the foundation of the world, where were you? And then God tells him all kinds of scientific things. He said, Lord, I talked to you once, I talked to you twice. Now I'm not going to talk, I'm going to listen to you. And what God says, go and pray for those people. He didn't say, I'm still sick. Those people are my enemy now. How can I go and pray for you? He didn't say anything because he said, I'll keep quiet. I will listen to you. He went and prayed for them. And the Job chapter 42 verse 10, the word of God says God changed everything, healed him, gave him twice the blessings. And all the friends and relatives coming and giving him golden rings and money and everything. And he became very rich. So the word of God said, if that person is stubborn and don't listen, leave him alone. Give it to the Satan.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.